In order to support our show, we need the help of some great advertisers. And we want to make sure those advertisers are ones you'll actually want to hear about. But we need to learn a little bit more about you to make that possible. So would you please do me a favor? Can you go to podsurvey.com/Jamie? That's J-A-M-I-E, podsurvey.com/Jamie, and take a quick anonymous survey that will help us get to know you better. That way we can bring on advertisers you won't want to skip. Once you've completed the quick survey, you can enter for a chance to win a $100 Amazon gift card. You guys, you can buy a lot of great things on Amazon for $100. Terms and conditions apply. Again, that's podsurvey.com/Jamie, J-A-M-I-E. Guys, thanks for your help. Go to podsurvey.com/Jamie. Hey friends, and welcome to the Happy Hour with Jamie Ivy podcast. I'm your host, Jamie, and I'm really excited that you're joining us today on the show. Every week I invite a girlfriend to come onto the show with me and we chat about the big things in life, the little things in life, and literally everything in between. Guys, if this is your first time to listen, I want to say welcome. If this is your 109th time to listen, thanks for coming back every week. But in case you don't know, I want to tell you the reason the Happy Hour exists is to encourage women in whatever stage of life they're in, to inspire them to do big things and to constantly point them to Jesus. So I hope that as you listen to today's show and every show that you feel those three things coming through in the show. Hey, before we get to my guest, Jana, I want to thank our sponsor, Jelly Telly, for sponsoring the show today. Are you looking for a fun way to help your kids learn about Jesus? Guys, check out the Jelly Telly app to stream new and classic Christian shows for kids. If you are my age, I'm like 38 and you have kids, remember Silly Songs with Larry? Yes, you do. I know you do. You can share your love of old school VeggieTales with your kids now. Watch together or feel great handing your phone to your kids, knowing that they'll be safe watching shows that will all point back to God. Jelly Telly is easy to watch on your phone, tablet, computer, or TV with iOS, Android, and Kindle apps, plus a new Roku channel. Try a month of Jelly Telly on jellytelly.com with coupon code HAPPYHOUR to get unlimited streaming of your family's favorite Christian videos and movies. Guys, I have this and Story loves it. So thank you, Jelly Telly, for all you're doing to put great, safe shows that point every kid back to God. Hey guys, you're listening to episode number 109 of the Happy Hour, and today my guest is Jana Magruder. Jana and I first met when she worked at my church, the Austin Stone Community Church, and she has since moved on to Nashville, and she now works for Lifeway in their kids ministry department. Today, we chat about gospel-centered parenting, and if that's a new word for you, I hope that by the end, you understand what we're talking about. We also talk about the new kids album that Austin Stone Worship is releasing this Friday, and if you follow me on Instagram, you've seen me post a lot about this lately, and it's because I'm super proud of it. The people at Austin Stone Worship have worked so hard on this album, and it really is truly something that you and your kids will both love. Aaron told me a long time ago that we were not going to let our kids listen to kids' music because he wanted them to hear real music. And guys, this kids' worship album is real music. It's deep in theology, and it's fabulous music. And so I hope that you get it. You can check it out. I've been giving away a free song all week. So go to jamieivy.com/onlyjesus, and you get a free song. Plus, you can download the album. You can pre-order it right there on that page as well. And it comes out Friday. So pre-order it, and then on Friday, when you're driving, there it is. It's in your iTunes right there for you. So follow me on Instagram because this week, starting today, I'm also giving away some of the t-shirts that I've been wearing about the album. They're not selling them. And so I'm going to give some away. So follow me on Instagram. It's at Jamie Ivy. Okay. Also, we may or may not have spent some time chatting about Willie Nelson because that's what we do here in Austin is we all love us some Willie Nelson. Okay, guys, here is my conversation with Jana. Hey, Jana.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Welcome to the Happy Hour.
I'm so excited to be here.
We're actually in person.
Yay.
Which is good.
Austin.
We're in Austin, which is funny because you live in Nashville and I was just there yesterday.
I know. We must have just passed each other in the sky.
Did you get into Austin yesterday?
Uh-huh.
We literally did fly over each other. That's crazy.
That's fun.
Well, I do most of my interviews over Skype, so it's a joy to sit down with you. And I actually want to start doing all my interviews like this.
Good.
Do you like this better than being over Skype?
I do. I have a little podcast as well, and I don't do as many as you, so I'm really happy to kind of see how you do things. and learn. But most of mine are in person, and I just like, you know, the interaction, uh-huh. getting to see facial expressions and
everything.
Look someone in the eyes.
I know. Well, here's why interviewing in person is actually harder for me.
Okay.
Because if we were on Skype, you would be telling me something, and mm-hmm. I could look it up on my computer, and it wouldn't bother you.
True.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. Or it could be a little sneaky.
A little sneaky. Mm-hmm. But now I feel like we need constant eye contact.
Yep.
But if I look down at my computer, you won't be bothered.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so you do a podcast.
Yes.
Tell me about it and my listeners.
Well, I do it for Lifeway Kids because that's where I work, actually.
Okay, what is Lifeway? Everyone might not know.
That's true.
If you're a Christian in America, I don't know how you don't know what Lifeway is.
Right.
But I think that is not true.
Exactly. I agree. I know that's not true.
The Northeast, the Northwest, anywhere but the South.
Right.
Maybe I should say that.
Correct. Well, Lifeway is a resource provider for all ages, and mainly for the church, but also for the trade world. So we serve authors with trade books, and we serve churches with resources. Like, for example, I oversee the kids area, so we create content for churches to use whenever they have church, whether that be Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And we do Vacation Bible School, which is a big part of our history because we've been doing it forever. So that's fun and exciting. We come
and
up with
all the moms are thankful.
And
for
all the yes, I'm and I'm one of those moms. So it's kind of fun to have been, you know, raised in a family that where that took me to BBS, and I grew up in the church and in ministry actually, and so to actually have been raised in BBS and then be a mom who was looking for BBS for my own children, you know, just for summer fun and just exposure to the awesome biblical themes that BBS brings, and then now to be a part of the creative process because it is a lot of fun. So our team gets to do that for Lifeway Kids, and we have a podcast. So if you look us up when you're looking at podcasts on iTunes, we're mm-hmm. Lifeway Kids.
I love it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to look it up because I didn't even know y'all had a podcast.
Yeah.
I saw a picture of you. I was looking at some stuff about you yesterday because I knew we were going to be chatting.
Mm-hmm.
So I always go like investigative mode on all my guests. And I saw a picture of you recording a podcast.
Yes.
But I thought you were just a guest. So I didn't know you hosted that one.
Yeah.
Way to go.
I don't always. We kind of take turns, but sometimes I'm the host.
I like hosting.
Yes. It's fun.
It's different. I've been on several shows recently, mm-hmm. and it's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah.
Because I have to tell myself to not ask, like, to sit back and listen, whereas normally I'm, like, the one that's always talking about things.
Right.
I know.
Well, you'll have to be on ours next.
I would love to.
Good.
Who's your last person you had on?
We had, let's see, gosh, the last one that I did, we were interviewing some of our main publishing leaders for the Gospel Project.
Okay.
Which is a fun thing that we produce for churches and kind of why I'm here in Austin for the weekend.
Yay. Yeah. I was going to say, I go to the Stone, Austin Stone. Mm-hmm. You used to work at the Austin Stone.
Yes.
5 years ago?
No, not that long. Three years ago. Yes.
Okay. And so, do we use the Gospel Project here?
You do.
Okay. I thought that we did, but I didn't want to be assuming anything.
Yes. It's true.
Okay.
Yes. So, when I left, I was in children's ministry at the Austin Stone and left Texas, which I never thought I would do because I've lived here my entire life and most Texans don't want to leave the state.
Because we claim that like we are our own country.
Right, exactly. So, and so, yeah. And I was raised that way and love it and never thought I would leave. But Nashville was calling uh-huh. and this opportunity came up and was kind of an opportunity where I could wear all the different hats that my career had been surrounded in. Mm-hmm. So... it's hard to say no to, and Nashville's a great city.
It is a great city.
Yeah. So anyway, as soon as I got there to Lifeway, specifically to work in children's ministry for Lifeway, so kind of not boots on the ground in terms of working for the church, which is what I've been used to, but to provide resources for the mm-hmm. church that are trustworthy in content and highly engaging. We use writers from all over the country. And so I thought, you know, for this specific line of resources, the Gospel Project, which is really a special curriculum is what it is for kids of all ages, as well as student and adults. I only oversee the kids. I really needed some creative writers who really understood gospel-centered teaching, which is pretty specific.
Well, okay, I know you're going into a story here, but you keep saying gospel-centered. Mm-hmm. I know what that means.
Right.
We use that term all the time at our church. I talk about like gospel subtle parenting. You know, I was just talking to a girlfriend this morning over Voxer, and I was like, okay, I'm just going to tell you the gospel. I'm going to tell you what you need to hear. What do you mean when you say gospel-centered curriculum?
Okay, that's a great question. So what I mean by that is the lessons that we bring, the way we present Bible stories is centered on Jesus. And no matter where you are in the Bible, even if that's in Genesis, even if that's in the Minor Prophets, we're always going to focus kids back on why do we have to have Old Testament sacrifice, for example?
Yeah.
It's to point towards the need for the ultimate Savior. And so it's really awesome to be able to teach kids that way in a gospel-centric way. And the Austin Stone leaders here in children's ministry understand that. And really, we have partnered with them to continue writing the Gospel Project. And so they have a role in that. And that's why I'm here this weekend, because they're getting all their classes and leaders trained for how to use the content. They've actually been using it for about a year now, but officially we're doing some training this weekend.
Awesome.
And even doing a little retreat, so I'm super excited.
And you're teaching at it?
Mm-hmm. You are too, right?
Yes. What are you teaching on?
We're going to teach on, well, first of all, just what we just talked about. Like, what is this gospel-centric view of teaching the Bible, as opposed to maybe teaching Bible stories, which is how we all grew up learning
you know,
Bible
stories,
kind of just cherry picked
on their own,
in isolation. Whereas the Gospel Project takes kids through a chronological view, so the big picture is what we like to say, but in grown up terms, we would say redemptive history.
Right.
But for kids, chronological, Genesis to Revelation in 3 years. But with a thread of Christ throughout, and to see how that weaves together and the light bulbs come on. And so we want to train volunteers here at the Stone and other churches, because I go on the road and talk to churches all over. We serve 30,000 churches at Lifeway, which is crazy.
It's crazy.
But that's kind of our message, is gospel transformation, that only Jesus transforms hearts, not behavior modification. Not morals and values, not character education. Uh-huh. It's only Christ that transforms.
Yeah. So let's talk about parenting, because I know a lot of people that listen are parents. You're a mom.
Yes.
Three kids.
Yes.
Mom into three. I've got four kids.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that gospel-centered parenting is so difficult.
Yes.
Because what I want my kids to do is obey me.
Absolutely.
No matter what. Yes. I need you to do what I say, when I say it, how I say it, exactly how I say it.
Right.
Which, geez Louise, that is like so, like, I don't do that.
Right.
I'm like the worst. But as parents, like, life is just easier when they're doing what we want them to do.
Right.
From a strictly make my day easier type
exactly.
of thing. But we also want to mold them into great citizens. We want them to be ethical. We want them to have good morals.
Yes.
All of those things.
Right.
How does that change, though, when your whole goal switches from, I just want to raise a good kid.
Right.
You know?
Right.
To, I want to raise a kid that is centered on the gospel. Because I think that what I've seen in some of my girlfriends that do this well, and man, this is like, I'm like constantly trying to do this.
Mm-hmm.
But when I look at girlfriends that are doing this well, sometimes their discipline doesn't look what like the world thinks it should look like.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And people are like, well, you just need to spank that
kid. It's a lot more grace-based than it is.
So talk about that for a second. Like, there's mamas listening. They're like, well, I want this, but how do I do this? Like, how do I implement in my day-to-day parenting gospel?
Right.
Gospel that Jesus is our only hope.
Well, goodness, I hope that, first of all, I'm not seen as an expert in this, because I'm so in the thick of it.
That's what I just said, walking through it together.
I will say, you know, it's really easier to write for 30,000 churches about it than it is to go home at night and with three kids.
It's reality.
It is reality. Yeah. And the reality is, it takes a little bit more time, and it takes getting your own heart right.
Mm.
And I find that when my heart is not centered around the gospel, when I'm kind of off, because we really have to think, you know, yes, I became a Christian at age 9, but I have to gospel myself. Like, I'm using that as a verb.
Right.
Daily, hourly, and I have to do that with my kids.
Yeah.
I'm constantly having to put that in front of them, and especially, you know, as I've got a 14-year-old now, girl, that looks different than gospel parenting with my 9-year-old boy.
Yeah.
And so it's really tailored to where they are. Uh-huh. And so right now it's really about identity. Like, where is her identity coming from? Is it the approval of friends? Or is it the approval of who she is in Christ?
I'm still asking myself those questions.
And I'm still dealing that way. Absolutely. Yeah. And so that's why I say it really, your own heart has to be in a place where you can parent that way.
Yeah.
And is that just a silver bullet once and for all? No. It's just a daily thing.
And I think what you said is so interesting because it made me think, I just gossip with my... And explain this real quick. I get it. When you say... gospeling myself. What it means to me is like I'm reminding myself of what is true.
Right.
I'm telling myself the gospel. And I think growing up, I don't think I was reminded of the gospel a lot.
Mm-mm.
You know what I mean? Like
right.
It was like this, you know what happened.
Right.
Jesus did this. There we go.
Right. Unless you were thinking, well, I better pray the prayer of salvation one more time just in case.
Just in case. I mean, you know, you never know. Like, I did grow up like that, yes.
A lot of us did.
Yes.
A lot of us did, and a lot of us are trying to still erase that form of because what we're saying there is that I have to do something.
Yeah.
And the truth is, you don't.
Yeah.
So, you know, in parenting, to be able to say, you know, this is this. It's not about sitting down. I need to tell you the gospel story again.
Exactly.
As much as it is, like you said, reminding who you are in Christ.
Yeah. 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 We do that. Like, one of my kids struggles with anger, and so for me, like when I feel like I have my like good mom hat on, you know, when I'm really relying on Jesus to help me in parenting, is when I get to remind him, you're right. Mm-hmm. You can't control this anger. This is something that Jesus has to change in your heart. And you know, and talking to a kid who we don't believe, you know, has been the Holy Spirit inside of him, that is just teaching him more about Jesus every single time we say that.
Yes.
But geez Louise, parenting is hard.
Yes, it is.
Jeez, how old is your youngest?
Okay, I have a 9-year-old boy, an 11-year-old boy, and a 14-year-old girl.
Okay, so I'm not far behind you.
Yeah.
12-year-old boy, 11-year-old boy, 10-year-old boy, 8-year-old girl.
Yes.
Crazy.
It's a different season.
It's so different. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's so different. Okay, so you're here in Austin. You're teaching at this retreat, which I'm excited. I'm going to be at as well.
Yes.
But here at the Austin Stone, I haven't talked about this on the show yet, but everyone that listens knows my husband's a worship pastor here.
Yes.
You know that, obviously.
Kind of know that.
Yes, we put out great music here.
Yes.
But we have something really exciting that's coming out soon.
Yeah.
And it's a kids' album.
Yes.
What's it called? Only Jesus.
Only Jesus.
Okay, now I'm going to tell everyone the webpage, and you're going to think I'm lying. Because our friend Anna is in here with us, and she just told us the webpage, and we thought she was lying. But it is. Help me out. It's only
J-E-S.
J-E-S dot U-S.
However you want to say that.
Only Jess. I guess that could be like maybe your nickname for Jesus, which I don't know. Is that
appropriate?
Is that okay? Even
is
have a
that
nickname
heretical?
For Jesus? I know. Like, what have we just done here? But only JES.us. But it's a kid's album, which I'm super proud of. Aaron's had his hand in it. And I believe that my daughter sang on it. They've got some little gang vocals in there.
Yes.
And we have been watching the videos. Can we talk about this, Anna? Okay, yeah. So have you seen any of the music videos?
They did show me yesterday a couple of the videos. So exciting.
Oh, my word.
Yes.
So does every song come with a video? Okay. Anna is in here, and she's my, like, check my facts straight here. So every song, when you buy the album, is going to come with a video. And it's not like your normal, typical video. It really looks like, did y'all ever have the Wii game Just Dance?
Yes.
Did it not remind you of that?
It totally did.
It's like Just Dance with Jesus. Again, can we say that?
Or Jess.
So the videos are amazing because it's all these dance moves, and it really does feel like you're on like a Wii game, Just Dance. My kids loved it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good.
Especially my 8-year-old girl.
I bet.
The best.
I bet.
So the album comes out October 7th. See, Anna told me that. October 7th, it comes out, and you can pre-order it. By the time the show's out, you can listen to it. So,
and it's really good.
I hope everyone goes and gets it.
Yes.
One thing I love about our church, Jesus, our cornerstone. One thing I love about our church, the Austin Stone, is that we put out great music, obviously. But for kids' music, it's not cheesy.
Right.
And it's very theologically sound.
It is.
Which that's a big thing.
It is.
It's a huge thing because we want our kids to enjoy the music that they're listening to and also get truths about Jesus.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And that's what I will say. That's what in my role at Lifeway, we're in the music business. And I'm so thankful for my years here at Austin Stone, even sitting under Aaron as a worship leader, learning about true, great worship and how to lead kids in that. And so that's something that we get to do is work with music producers and performers and writers and that kind of thing, because we put songs in our curriculum as well. So we're super excited about the Austin Stone project and our own music too. Yeah.
When we had kids, Aaron declared that they will not listen to kid music.
Yeah.
That he was just adamant about it.
Yes.
And of course we did, because kids just, they really do love that cheesy music.
Mm-hmm.
But he was adamant that our kids would listen to like Coldplay and
YouTube.
Yeah, all of these things. That was like, that was so important to him. And our kids do. Like Caden, just now, he's 13, he's 12, and he had to pick a song in English class that had some kind of literature term in it or whatever, and he picked a Coldplay song to take
in. Oh, good for him.
I know.
So goals achieved for Aaron.
Goals achieved. Aaron, you have produced children who like good music is what he has done. Yes.
If you don't know it, guys, I'm a Texas girl through and through. I've lived here most of my life. I was born here, and I love traveling. Here's why I love traveling throughout Texas, because it has a vast landscape of cultures, regions, destinations, and activities, which means there's an infinite number of different travel experiences. And no two travelers are exactly alike, and it means that no two trips should be either. If you're a beach person, well, you can have fun under the sun with Texas's 350 miles of coastline. If you're more of a rugged vacation type, there are campgrounds, hiking trails, and state parks galore. And foodies cannot get enough of Texas's world-famous barbecue and Tex-Mex. Enjoy live music, visit internationally recognized art museums, and check out thrilling cowboy experiences. And now, Travel Texas offers a one-of-a-kind online trip builder that allows users to generate a custom, visually-led trip matched to their unique interests. Guys, come visit my state. Visit traveltexas.com/get-your-own to get the only trip to Texas that matters. Yours. That's traveltexas.com/get-your-own. You guys, in January of 2024, I made a commitment to myself. I wanted to get stronger, which meant I needed to get in the gym, which means I needed to move my body in different ways. You guys know I love to walk. Well, it's spring, and spring is the best time for us to start a new workout routine. It's our yearly collective warm-up, and Peloton is here for everyone's yearly warm-up. This is the best time to get into a good rhythm, to tap into your power, and build towards your summer you. I love my Peloton. It accommodates to my schedule with a variety of class lengths to choose from. I can choose a 30-minute class. I can choose a 45-minute class. If you only have 5 minutes, there's literally a class to get you moving your body in 5 minutes. Peloton has a range of class types fit for every goal and every mood. There are classes if you want to hear country music, if you want to hear rock, if you want to go back to the 80s. If you can't run, take a walking class. Need some grounding? Try yoga. If you want to level up, go for their Pilates or HIIT workouts. Here's what I love is that you can move at your own pace. And that is what I'm learning that my body needs right now. It needs to move at its own pace. Peloton makes the process easier with personalized recommendations and guided programs that take all the guesswork out of working out. You guys, we think about so many things during the day. Let's take the guesswork out. Let's jump right in and let's keep our fitness journey fresh every single day. Peloton has everything you need to get you where you're going. Whether you prefer to run outdoors, row or ride at home, or strength train at the gym, Peloton has something for you. I personally love a good 45-minute hip-hop class. It gets me moving. It gets me excited. It's my favorite genre of music, just ask my kids. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com. That's onepeloton.com.
Jana, speaking of produce, you and your daughter created something together.
Yes.
Tell me about it.
Well, Morgan Grace and I had the opportunity to write a little devotional coloring book together. She was really the art director. She kind of has a little creative bent for design and what's really popular in her age group. So really the book is for, I say, girls of all ages, meaning preteens, teens, and even my age.
Okay.
Because it's one of these fun coloring books. But I brought one actually for a story and you to have. It's called Life Verse Creative Journal, and it's a double pack of journals.
It is two journals.
Yeah, you get two. One is the actual devotional coloring portion, and then one is blank so that you can collect your own life verses or doodle journal.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Prayer journal. So yeah, we're really excited about it. And Life Verse kind of comes from our own personal mother-daughter journey, spiritual journey together. When she was, I would say, first grade, we just decided to pick a verse together for something that she could kind of champion where she is in her life right now. And so we were talking about... back then, this is I'm reliving these days as I speak. But whatever is true, whatever is holy, whatever is pure, noble, worthy of excellence, think upon these things. Mm-hmm. And so that was a way for us to just have conversations as a first, second, third, fourth, and the conversations changed.
Yeah,
for a filter of is this show, does it really fall into this television show? Does this song, like we were just talking about music, you know, Coldplay's okay, but what about Kesha?
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Right.
And lots of things like that. And so that's why we called it Life Verse. And really the journal is full of different life verses that girls could champion as their own or just learn from and hide God's word in their hearts. That's the main goal is just to expose young women to scripture and in a fun and creative way.
That's awesome. Story has a couple of coloring books like this and she loves them.
Good.
And it's really good to like calm someone's brain down as well to sit and doodle like this.
Yes.
I love how you said that like the verse that you chose and that the conversations have changed. Mm-hmm. But isn't that cool to think that the conversations have changed but God's word never changed and it applied to as a first grader and as a fourth grader and a fifth grader?
Yes.
That's encouraging as moms.
Yes.
Because you think like, I'm going to pick a life verse for my first grader. Is it really going to matter when they're in 12th grade? And the truth is,
yes. Right.
It will matter.
It's a living, the word of God is so powerful because it's a living document. And so the verses, whatever you choose, God's going to use and the Holy Spirit's going to reveal in a new, fresh way. As we age.
Oh, did you do this with your boys or was this something special between
you
and your daughter?
No, we're doing it with our boys as well. Of course, it looks differently, but we want to just start with something. And I mean, for your listeners, if you're looking for a way to, how do I disciple my child? Sometimes it feels overwhelming. Like, I don't have the tools. Uh-huh. I don't have the background. Even just starting with identifying one verse that you and your child could learn together, write, post it on their bathroom mirror or their room and just unpack together and just learn it together and see where the conversations go. I would just encourage that as a starting point, especially if you feel a little bit intimidated about discipleship. But we all know that we have to be the primary disciplers of our kids at home. Partnered with the church is ideal, but really it's as moms, we've been called to do that.
I know. And I think that when you said it's a little bit scary, I think it can be a little intimidating for women or moms to sit down and think, okay, I need to like tell my kids about Jesus, you know, and I'm just going to let the church do that. I have a feeling that a lot of my listeners probably are discipling their kids, but I think a lot of people that might be listening are thinking, well, that's why I go to church.
Right.
You know, they get to do that.
Exactly.
Tell me what a kid might miss when they're only getting like Jesus at church.
Right.
What's that going to do to their, like, what's a kid going to miss in that way? Like, if you're encouraging a mom, let's talk about what a kid would miss if they're not getting it at home and they're only getting it at church.
Well, think about this. Kids really are only, even if you're doing your very best to make church a normal rhythm of life.
Right. Every Sunday we go.
That's 4 hours.
Uh-huh.
4 hours of an entire month.
Right.
And really, the reality of that, because we study statistics and stuff and what we do, people go less than that. Even people who love Jesus, it's you know.
Oh, yeah. Weekend. I didn't go to church last
Sunday. Exactly. There's different reasons in the busyness of life.
Here.
Exactly.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, there you go. So case in point, folks. So really, if you think about that, then that's a very anemic discipleship path just in time alone.
Yeah.
Because we know, when I go for a while without being in the Word, then I get really anemic.
Right.
And that's when I'm trying to parent on nothing, and then we are back to behavior modification. Yeah, and why exactly. can't they mind me right now? And losing, you know, your temper too easily, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, so that, and really, I think there's a switching of foundational thinking for those of us who grew up in the church. I think we really did look at our Sunday school teachers and our pastor as the spiritual authorities.
For sure.
In our lives.
Yep.
And so parents were kind of like, great, if I can get them there. And it also empowered the teacher really too much.
Yeah.
And believe me, I'm a champion. I'm sitting here with Anna. We're champions for these awesome volunteers. We have to have safe adults speaking into our child's life. We need that.
Yeah.
But if you're looking at that adult as the spiritual authority in your child's life,
it's not theirs to have.
And you're hands off.
Right.
That, I don't know, that message is not enough.
Right.
It's just not enough.
Yeah. And I feel like, too, I think that if this is a parent that's doing this, it's not like a, sometimes it's not even a conscious thing.
Right.
It's just I have so much on my plate.
Right.
We have 17 practices this week. I have to feed these kids every day three times. They
yes.
always want to eat. I
no.
might have a job. You know, like there's all these things. And then they just think, well, at least they have church. They can
right.
hear good stuff at church. Yeah. And so I think that... I think it takes a step for parents to say, actually, we're going to bring this home.
Right.
We talked about this earlier with gospel-centered parenting.
Gospel-centered parenting.
Everything coming back to Jesus.
Yes. And you really have to take advantage of the everyday moments.
Right.
Because if you wait for a 30-minute family devo, that
Those
may not ever
times.
Happen.
And when they do, you're going to be let down.
Exactly. Exactly.
I'm telling you,
False expectations.
Mm-hmm. Devotional times have always fallen short of my expectations.
Yeah.
Because what I expect to happen is that we all sit down.
Oh, yes.
Mom and dad have their coffee.
Yes.
Every child is like sitting crisscross applesauce,
yes.
very kindly, hands to themselves, Bibles open, hearts ready to receive.
Absolutely.
And usually, I don't think we've ever have a family devotional where someone hasn't been sent away.
Exactly.
I don't know. That might not be gospel-centered devotional time, but I'm like, you're going to have to leave. You can't be here for this.
Yeah. Yeah,
oh, man, maybe that's bad.
We've had those moments.
But it's just...
Exactly.
It's false expectations.
It is. And it's defeating. And so don't do that. Parent in the moments. You know, everybody loves to use Deuteronomy 6. You know, it's as you go. I mean, that
yeah,
works.
Yeah, talk about it as you go
in
your
car.
Day.
Well, I mean,
yeah.
You live in Austin. I live in Nashville. Sometimes I get that mixed up.
I know.
Because we've both lived in the
yes,
other city.
Yeah.
But we're in traffic
yeah.
all the time, and we've always got kids with us.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I always think of car time as a great way to just have those small discipleship moments.
Yeah.
And then also just authentic parenting and authentic marriages where your kids are going to see you mess up.
Mm.
And you use those moments as an opportunity to say, you know what?
I screwed up,
and I need to ask your forgiveness.
Yep.
You know, and being able to see kids, being able to see parents live life that
That's
way,
so
is I think a richer discipleship
yeah.
experience than the forced family devo
yeah.
that you just described,
mm-hmm, where everyone's mad at the
yes,
end.
Yes.
No one wants to love
no.
Jess anymore.
No,
or Jesus. okay, Jana, I just went to Nashville. I told you that in the beginning, but I also told you I was going to tell you where I ate.
Okay,
are you ready?
Yes.
I had to text my friend Heather and ask her because I couldn't remember. But here's everywhere I ate.
Okay, I want to hear it.
I was there for literally, I landed at 9 and left the next day at 6. Short time. Red Bicycle. It's crazy.
Have not been there yet.
Silo.
Have not been there yet.
Barista Parlor.
I've been there often. That is a phenomenal coffee shop.
And we had coffee and homemade biscuits.
Yes. Yes.
And then Butcher Town Hall.
Yes.
Which was the
great
cutest
barbecue.
Place ever.
Isn't it adorable?
So
I love
cute.
The decor. And I actually, because you know, us Texas girls are very, very picky
mm-hmm.
about our barbecue. And I really approve of Butcher Town Hall.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
I actually didn't have the barbecue.
They have fun salads and stuff
salad.
Too, which is
yes.
kind of interesting.
It's kind of like
yeah.
a want. But the decor in there was so beautiful.
It is.
It was
it really
so
is.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You recently went to New York City.
Yes.
Which
it's
that's
so
one
fun.
Of my... favorite places to
visit. It is.
I don't call it a vacation
no.
because I come home exhausted.
Yes. It took me about a week to recover.
Which that's not a vacation.
No. No. But I will say, for the first time in a very long time, turn completely off. So in that way, it was a mental vacation just from
no
work.
Work.
Yes.
Yes.
And it's kind of funny. It really was a movie kind of moment in my family because it was just my parents and my brother and me. So no spouses. Oh. So we rewinded back, you know, 20 plus years, the original Wilsons. So the Wilsons take Manhattan and the Wilsons take the U.S. Open, which is why we were there to celebrate my dad's 70th birthday.
Oh, yay!
So U.S. Open, as for a tennis player, is a bucket list item.
And you told me your dad plays tennis every day.
He does. With his replaced knee.
Oh, my goodness.
Which is replaced because he played so much tennis.
Every day, yes.
Yes.
So I went to the U.S. Open.
We did. It was phenomenal.
And tell me about it.
It's just a world-class event. Even if you, for some reason, didn't like tennis, which I love tennis. I grew up in a tennis family. But it was just awesome to be able to get really up close to the players, to see all the interaction of just the ball boys and the umpires and the staff. And, you know, there's a certain etiquette and cadence of you can't just come and go as you please. You have to wait until a changeover between games or sets. And
there's no one walking up and down the aisle selling cotton candy, I bet.
No. Not in tennis. Not in tennis. Which, taking the subway out to Threshing Meadows, which is where Arthur Ashe Stadium is also where the Mets Stadium is.
Okay.
And so get a picture of the two types of people
on
the subway.
You've got baseball fans and tennis fans.
You have rowdy baseball fans that are wearing their jerseys and just with their buddies and can't wait. And then you have the tennis people who are a little bit more prim and proper.
Yes.
And quieter.
And
it was a funny experience watching that, for sure.
Okay, so for tennis, for me, I've never played tennis a day in my life.
Okay.
Which, I don't know if that's weird.
It's not too late.
Well,
that's the beauty of tennis.
It might be too late, Jana. I've never played tennis a day in my life, but I will tell you this. When tennis comes on TV, I find myself just stop what I'm doing and watch it.
Yeah.
I don't understand how you get a point.
Okay.
I don't understand any of it.
Yeah.
Well, I do understand if it goes out of the lines, that's not good. But
right.
What I'm saying is I don't know the rules.
Yeah.
But I always love to watch it.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
It's very relaxing to watch.
There's not many sports that I would be like, I have no idea what's happening, but I want to watch
I really
this.
Like this. Yeah.
Yes.
There's an intensity. You kind of hold your breath while you wait for the point to be won, and then you kind of attach yourself to somebody, even if you don't know who they are. And you're like, I want that guy to win. I don't know why.
So who did you like watching?
It's always a phenomenal treat to be able to watch the number one player in the world, which is currently Novak Djokovic.
Novak Djokovic.
That's his name. He's from Serbia.
Serbia.
Mm-hmm. And
who would have thought?
He's a lot of fun to watch. Incredible athlete. And he's also really funny off the court. Just the underdog that he played in the finals, I had seen play previously, Stan Wawrinka, and he ended up beating Novak, which I was okay
Stan
with.
Stan won?
Stan won.
I love when an underdog wins.
And so yes. So that happened.
And then he won the U.S. Open.
And he's
like
31.
Champion.
So a 31-year-old, which now that I'm much older than that, but I'm always going to cheer for
Because that's old. Is that what you're saying?
Old in tennis.
That's what, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
How old is the number one Serbian?
He is, I think Novak is more like between 26.
Okay.
So somewhere around that.
Yeah.
Yeah, 27 maybe.
Isn't it crazy that when you're 31, you're like old?
You're old now. Yes.
Oh,
I know.
Gracious.
I know.
Do you tell people how old you are?
Yes.
Okay, because I have asked someone
before,
and they've been like, I actually asked someone, I was like, how old are you? And she said, I don't ever tell anyone.
Interesting. Okay. That's kind of old-fashioned. It feels like
but
the ladies
are younger than
me.
I know it.
That's funny.
Yes, I know she is.
She just
how
wants it to
are
be
you?
Easier. I'm 42.
Okay, so I'm 38.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be hitting 40
mm-hmm.
in a year and a half.
Yeah.
Was 40 hard for you to hit?
No.
Was 35 hard?
Well, I will say, yes, I think 35 was a little bit 35 harder.
35 was hard for me.
Because you are thinking that 40 is going to be hard, but something in you changes, just like every phase of life that you're kind of anticipating. Like, for example, my daughter right now is saying, I don't want to be old yet. I still want to be a kid. And I said, it's okay. Be that. Because God prepares your heart for when that season does come. Mm. And it is time to take more responsibility, and it is time to, and you're ready for it.
Yeah.
For example, I didn't want, when I had infants, I was like, oh, I just don't want the baby years to end. But then guess what? I was ready for the, when it came.
I was like praying they would end
yes,
soon.
Yes, I know. But I just use it as an example.
Yes.
Or even these.
You are, yeah.
Even these, preteen years with my sons and I'm just like, Lord, I don't want them to end yet. But I know that I've just seen his hand every time. Yeah. He gets you ready.
I had a friend who, she was kind of like this great friend when we lived in Nashville, named Shauna, and her kids were older than mine. Mm-hmm. And of course, I had little kids, and I would always say, I can't imagine having an 18-year-old, or I can't imagine having a kid in junior high. Wasn't the saddest thing ever when you had to go through that? And she's like, no, you're just ready.
You're just ready, yeah.
You know, not that you, like, get out of here. I don't want to see you ever again. But you've raised children, and you're just like, this is what's next for us.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so is that how you felt with 40?
Yeah. I can honestly say that. I was ready to receive it.
Yes.
And now that I'm 42, there really is kind of this freshness of, like, I don't care as much what that person over there might think of me, or I don't have everybody else in mind.
That's good.
And that there's something very
freedom in that,
of that, and I think that does come with years.
Yeah. 35 to me felt like I no longer could say I'm young 30s.
Yeah.
Then it was like mid 30s.
Yeah.
And now
late 30s.
I always say I'm practically 40, but I'm not scared of 40 either. I mean, if you think about it, let's say I lived to be at, like, we both lived at 80.
Yeah.
I have only lived half my life.
Right.
To me, I think, how much is ahead?
Yeah.
I'm, like, loving my life right now.
Exactly. I remember when being kind of depressed about 35 and thinking, you know, have I arrived? Have I peaked?
Is
and
this
is it? Is this it?
Yeah.
You know? And I read, I don't know why I read this, but I read the biography of Julia Child. So get a picture of who that is.
The chef, right? Yes.
Mm-hmm. And she's very, very famous and infamous for her French cooking. She's an American.
Yes.
She's famous for her French cooking. Uh-huh. Okay. She, in her memoir, in her biography, she never even went to France or knew how to cook until she was 37 years old.
Oh,
and
my
the
gosh.
Rest was history. So at age 37, she just went to France. And then she started to learn how to cook and play around with cooking. And then the show came. And now, I mean, she is an American icon.
You would never know.
I mean, and that kind of gave some wind in my sails at that. Little season that you're saying is, you know, hard, 35 to 40, those years. At age 37. And that was a long time ago.
It's when she just first experienced
37.
Her passion.
Yeah, for 37, a long time ago. Because this woman has been gone a long time.
Yeah.
For that to happen at age 37 is really when her career kickstarted, or her
crazy.
Life as we know her kickstarted.
I say all the time, I mean, this podcast, I started doing this 2.5 years ago, and I'm 38. I mean, I was like mid-30s when I was, and I love my job.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know that it could be a job.
Right.
6 years ago. Which is crazy.
It's awesome.
And so sometimes I'm like, man, this is so good. I'm okay with doing what's next.
Yeah. That's great. That's
I love
great.
Podcasting.
It's You're really good at it.
Well, thank
I'm
you.
I'm learning a lot right now for my own.
What else do you need to know? I'm just going to teach you all my ways. I teach you all my ways. Oh, you asked me a question before we started that I want to talk about on the show, because it's about podcasting.
Okay.
Hey guys, before we get back into talking with Jana, I just want to thank another sponsor for the show, and that is Westrock Coffee. I've been drinking this coffee every morning for a while now, and it is so wonderful. Westrock Coffee believes in people and the drive not only to survive, but to live with dignity and achieve greatness. Westrock works with coffee farmers in developing countries like Rwanda and Tanzania to ensure that they are able to provide properly for their families. Many farmer partners are women and providing for their family all on their own. They pay a fair price to farmers for their coffee and offer support and training to grow their businesses. Westrock's impact helps farmers to truly thrive, and it's a coffee that you can be proud to drink. Guys, you can find Westrock Coffee in Kroger stores and other retail stores around the United States, or go to westrockcoffee.com to learn more. Okay, here is the rest of my conversation with Jana.
You asked me, what are we going to talk about?
Right. Yes. Because I was kind of like, I need to know.
Yeah. I mean, because I put myself in your shoes sometimes when I go on other shows. If I don't know what we're going to talk about, I'm nervous.
Right.
Like maybe I need to, I want to sound smart and like I know what I'm talking about, so I like to prepare.
Or not be caught off guard.
Yes. But when I interview, I don't really like to tell people what we're going to talk about because it's the happy hour.
Yeah.
And if you and I were going to coffee, I would never send you a text and be like, hey, Jana, we're going to talk about these five things.
Exactly.
Be ready.
Right.
You know? But also, I learned something when I was in radio.
Yeah.
Because if you're a new listener, I was in radio for like a snap second.
Yeah,
I
mean, you were, though. It was an awesome
second.
It was an awesome second. I listened to you every day.
Oh, you're so sweet. It was here in Austin, and it was on a radio station called KVET with Bob Cole. And I would come in the mornings. And we would kind of, I didn't know this either about radio, so I don't know how all stations do it, but we would talk, so on Tuesday after we finished recording, we'd be like, okay, what are we going to talk about tomorrow? Mm-hmm. And we'd make kind of a rough outline. Mm-hmm. Granted, things can happen overnight, right?
Sure.
So we'd make a rough outline. So I'd come in the next day, I'd be like, hey, I was thinking about this, and da, 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 and I would start to talk to Bob about it, and he would go, stop.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about it until we're on air.
Awesome.
And I just remember thinking, that got the best conversation out.
Mm-hmm.
And so even sometimes before I talk to someone, we'll be chatting. I'll be like, let's just start because that sometimes brings out the best.
That's great. And I love that Bob Cole told you that because he's just a hero. He's a hero of the state.
Yeah. So there's my one tidbit
for you
with podcasting.
Thank you. I'm going to take that with me.
You take that and you just let that be the wind in your sails.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, Jana, I always ask my guests. Oh, did we say when the album comes out? And you can pre-order it now. We said that. Okay.
Yeah.
And it's called Only Jesus.
Yes. I'm wearing the t-shirt.
I'm
debuting
really cool.
The very first t-shirt. I'm really excited about it.
You came in and I was like, I haven't even seen this t-shirt.
Yeah. No,
the art is
perks.
So good. Who did this, Anna? I don't know his name either.
Well, I hear he did Willie Nelson's album too.
Is that true?
That's what, can we say that?
I don't know if we can say that.
Oh, sure we can. Why not?
Why not?
It's my podcast. I can say whatever I want.
And I'm on it. So
this designer does stuff for Willie Nelson, too. Which Willie
again,
is like an icon.
Hero of the
state of Texas.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is there anyone in America that wouldn't know who Willie Nelson was? I mean, like, do people in the North know who Willie Nelson is?
I think so.
I knew him in California.
Okay,
Anna
that counts.
She's
a West Coast girl, knew him.
Californians.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
They're so different.
If anyone's listening and you don't know who Willie Nelson is, I need to know.
Yeah.
Because I would just be interested.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
to
a good
me,
question.
He's like Johnny Cash.
Yes.
Right? I mean,
yes.
Iconic country singer.
Very much so.
Still alive.
Still alive.
He may not make some of the best choices in life. We'll just get that on
recording. He's a runner.
He's a runner. Is he really?
Yeah, he's always been.
Is he still a runner?
The gray,
he's in his 80s, right?
The gray New Balances that he wears, he made famous, really, and now they're all back. My preteen daughter, or she's not preteen, my teenage daughter is wearing gray New Balances, like the plain old gray.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
And I call him the Willie Nelson shoes because he'd be in his Wrangler jeans and his bandana and braided pigtails, but he'd always have on his gray New Balance shoes, and that's because he's a runner.
Did you grow up here in Austin?
Well, I lived here for 16 years, but I grew up in East Texas. But my father is a
huge Willie Nelson,
and he taught me everything about country music.
Has he read Willie's book?
Oh yeah,
I've heard it's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I bought it for Aaron. I haven't read it either, but I heard it was really good.
Yeah, the best thing I love about Willie is his songwriting, and I've seen him multiple times in person, and he's a great performer too. But his lyrics,
he's
cut to the heart.
He's still doing it. Have you been to the 4th of July ever party?
Yep, I have.
I haven't either. Aaron has.
I have.
When Aaron got invited to it, I was like, "This is not fair. You don't even like country music." But Willie is just Willie.
This is Willie, and it's a lot of, it's kind of like going to ACL, Austin City Limits Fest here, where you have to just be really prepared, hydrate, because it's July 4th in Lukenbach, Texas.
Yeah.
So it's a commitment.
It is.
I wouldn't do it now.
You should get one of those Camelbacks.
I think it was before the Camelbacks because it was in college.
I do not like ACL.
Yeah, those days are over for me. I used to go faithfully.
It's too much. It's too much.
It is.
Okay, Jana, I always ask everybody what you're reading and what you're loving. So what are you reading these days?
Okay. I am reading, I have to get the title just right because it's important, by Kristen Welch, who
Yes.
famous blogger for women and moms, Raising Grateful Kids in an Entitled World.
Yes.
And I had to get that right
because shelf.
It's really good because we all know us Americans are living, like it or not, even if we're raising our kids to not be entitled, the culture that we live in is just... that's every message that they get.
Yep.
And so how do you do that? She does a really good job of framing some realistic, not just strategy and theory, but some realistic ways of how to do that. So I'm enjoying that.
Raising Kids in an Ungrateful World. Did I say it right?
Nope. That's why I had to write it down.
See?
Because
okay.
you have to, there's
raising
a lot of words.
Grateful Kids.
And an entitled world.
World.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. She's good. I have that book on my shelf at home. It was sent to me. I haven't read it, but I appreciate everything she does.
Yes.
She has a really sound voice.
Yes.
In a world where there are a lot of voices.
Yes.
Her seems to be very sound.
Yes.
Do you know her personally?
No, I don't.
I don't either.
I don't.
So I was going to ask you about her, but you don't know her.
No, do you know?
I'm reading a book called, I'll butcher the title. It's called Talk Like TED.
Okay.
It's about TED Talks.
Giving TED Talks. That sounds like a book I need to read.
Because this is what I do in life. I have a talk coming up in 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a talk where I have to stand on a stage with zero notes. Mm-hmm. It's a TED-like.
Yes.
So instead of writing the talk, I thought I'd read books about.
Yeah.
I mean.
Of course.
Of course.
Right.
Because that makes sense.
Yes.
Yes. It's like I just had a meeting about to start writing a book, and I was telling one of the people that I'm working with about all the books I was going to read about writing.
Yeah.
And she kind of looked at me like, well, maybe you should just write.
Yeah.
Like, okay, yes. I tend to do that. Let me read everything about how to do it.
Right.
To fill up the time we're not supposed to be doing that.
Oh, I just got through writing a book, not a coloring book, and it's hard.
Tell me about this.
It's called, well, it's very specific to kids ministry.
Okay.
So if for some reason you're listening and you know a kids minister or you are a kids minister, you might be interested. It's releasing October 1st. It's called Kids Ministry That Nourishes.
Mm.
And we are using nourishment as a way to talk about three essential nutrients. But I promise it's not a book about snacks for your kids.
Uh-huh, yeah.
But it's about spiritual food.
Yeah.
And what are essential nutrients in the food world, in the nutrition world, are things that your body has to have to survive but doesn't make on its own. And so what are we giving our kids in ministry that they must have?
Mm.
And so that's what the book is about. It's based on three essentials. So excited about
that.
It
comes out in just a couple weeks.
Yes, it comes out in a couple weeks.
Is this something you can get on Amazon or is this just through? Okay.
You'll be able to get it on Amazon or Lifeway. Yeah.
Yay.
Lifeway.com.
All I was thinking about, the things that my body needs that doesn't produce, was I'm just keep thinking about Chick-fil-A.
It does not produce Chick-fil-A.
It doesn't, because I went to get Chick-fil-A this morning and my regular Chick-fil-A was closed. And so...
That is so sad.
I literally am going to spend the rest of the day complaining about it.
Yes.
Can you gospel me through this?
That is a gospeling moment.
I need to be gospeled through my lack of Chick-fil-A. I had two girls on my show recently, the live show, and one lives in San Diego-ish or Orange County, and one lives in the Northwest.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that neither one of them had ever eaten at a Chick-fil-A?
You are kidding.
I'm not kidding.
That's like not knowing who Willie Nelson is.
Or Jesus.
Or
I literally, like, my jaw dropped. I'm like, you've never eaten at Chick-fil-A? That is so just, like, foreign to me. I thought Chick-fil-A was everywhere.
Yeah. It's in and it's all about In-N-Out Burger in the West, right, Anna?
Uh-huh.
Our Californian.
Yes. There. Which we have them in Austin now.
I know.
They're not my favorite.
Right as I was leaving,
Do you like it?
Well, we have this very special thing called P. Terry's, which I think
in
is
Austin,
much better than In-N-Out. Sorry, listeners.
But I was really surprised about In-N-Out coming to Austin.
Me too.
We have so many local.
Right.
I mean, like P. Terry's. What's the other burger place that I love? Phil's Ice House.
Yes.
Which I haven't eaten there forever. But
I'm
like, are people going to go to these burger places?
Right.
And they do, because the line is forever long
it's
at In-N-Out.
It's still so famous in the West, so it feels like it's something you've got to do here when it comes. That's my theory.
Here's my thing. If you come to Austin and you want to get a burger, don't go to In-N-Out.
No. Go to California.
Yeah. Go back to California. Okay, hamburgers. Now I'm going to be hungry for a burger. Okay, also I asked my guests, what are three things you're loving? What are you loving these days?
Okay, well, we talked about the whole 40 thing, so you really got me there. I'm loving being over 40.
Yay!
I can say that out loud on a podcast. Like I said, just being kind of free from sort of the expectations that we carry around maybe in our younger years and the fear of judgment and the just the anxieties of the world that we as women carry is something that comes with age, I think. And so I'm loving being over 40.
I was just, when you said it comes with age, I was just thinking, how do we do this earlier? But I think that you have to live life.
Yeah,
you do. I think you have to understand.
You, like, you can't
have
fast to get forward.
To, yes, you have to get to a point where you think, I'm going to survive.
Right.
It's not all about me.
Right.
Yeah, and that comes with age and life and circumstances. And
Right.
I'm feeling more of that in my older late 30s.
Good.
38.
It's coming early for you.
It's coming, yes. I'm going to hit 40 with a bang.
That's right. That's right. It'll be
great. Okay, what else are you loving?
Okay, this is so obvious because I feel like everybody knows about LaCroix, and I've heard that I'm saying it the wrong way now because it's
LaCroix, right?
No, now everybody's saying it's, if you pronounce it in French, LaCroix. Oh. Yeah.
Okay, well,
there's another pronunciation, which I don't know, but I don't know. There was some article that said that. Well, but I'm trying to find all the flavors, and my favorite flavors are not normally on the shelf, which makes me sad.
What's your favorite flavors that you're not getting?
Cucumber blackberry. Have you ever had that one?
Well, I just bought it for the first time this last week, and I think I bought it, and I haven't even been in town. My family's probably, you know, that's what they do.
Yeah.
They drink all the stuff you love.
Yes, they do.
Yes, they do.
Yes, they do.
This summer, I made a rule. You get one special drink a day.
Yeah, that's a good rule.
And still, I'm buying, like, mounds of stuff from Costco.
I know, and they inhale it.
And I won't buy soda because I'm that
mean.
No,
we don't either.
We don't do soda. And so the least I could give them is what we call spicy water.
Spicy water.
Carbonated.
Yes.
Spicy.
Yes. Yes.
It's okay, so cucumber what?
Cucumber blackberry.
Yeah, that's what I just bought. I haven't tasted it.
Okay, where'd you get it? H-E-B?
H-E-B,
okay,
yeah. Sorry, you don't have that natural.
Yeah, I know. It's so sad. But anyway, we could have a whole podcast talking about the differences in Austin and Nashville.
Oh, I know.
So maybe another day. But I miss H-E-B. I have just gotten back into the classroom teaching fourth grade girls. So I took a little bit of a sabbatical where I was just subbing and doing some preschool stuff, which I love. I love my preschoolers. But in children's ministry, so many ages are represented. I love, you know, from babies all the way to preteens. So I'm back to serving every Sunday with fourth grade girls, which is to me my favorite age group.
Such a fun age.
Favorite age group. And I'm loving that. Mm. And it helps, it just helps me stay fresh and current in the role that I play. And I just love it. So
you get to teach the curriculum that you helped create.
I do, which is great.
I'm sure that's fun.
It is. It's fun. It's sort of humbling, like, you know, that we, you know, my team got to do this, and churches all over are doing it this Sunday as well. So I'm loving that.
You'd be very proud of that.
Yeah, well, I'm just, like I said, I'm very humbled that God has allowed this opportunity for me. So it's great.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I love the, we had Sally Lloyd-Jones was on the show.
She was. She's so great.
She's the best. People ask me all the time. They're like, you've interviewed all these people. Who's been your favorite guest?
Yes.
And I have lots of favorite guests. Like,
yeah.
I'll be like, everyone's my favorite. But
sure.
In reality,
yes.
My most unexpected favorite guest on the Happy Hour has been Sally Lloyd-Jones.
She's delightful.
Hands down.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear that show, Anna? Yes, you loved it.
I'm going to have to look it up because I love
her. Oh, you have to listen to it. Listen to it on your way home.
Okay.
Not because it's me, but because she's amazing.
No.
But every time we talk about this gospel-centered, everything goes back to Jesus.
Right.
You can't not mention her Bible.
You can't.
Well, it's God's Bible, but the Bible
is storybook Bible. Right. It's very anointed.
The Jesus storybook Bible came out a couple years ago, and it has been such a great resource for parents, and it's the same thing that you guys are creating. It's so good, that thread of the Redemptor, the Rescuer. God always had a Rescuer.
Yes.
And she has, I don't know if you've seen this, her new book, God's Love, oh my gosh, God's Love for You, I think that's what it's called.
Mm-hmm.
I'll fix it in the show notes if it's not. But it is basically an adult version of the Jesus Storybook Bible.
Which is so important. I have countless friends. I started giving them as gifts a long time ago. It's been out more than a couple of years.
Yeah.
Where they would say, thank you so much. This has helped me.
Exactly. Yeah.
Understand. And we find that in the Gospel Project that it helps with volunteer recruitment because parents, adults are like, I want to teach this because it's helping me.
Mm.
Because they grew up like we did.
Yeah.
Stories in isolation, attach the plan of salvation
right.
at the end and call it the gospel.
Call it a day, too.
Yeah, and call it a day, done.
Yeah.
And so they're learning, and there's just a specialness about that particular storybook Bible and like we've been talking about, just gospel-centered teaching. I had the opportunity. She spoke at one of our conferences a couple years ago, and I got to take her to lunch, and I have never been so starstruck.
I'm starstruck
because she's
right
a hero
now.
Of the faith for
yes.
me.
Yeah.
And she really is. And she's a little bit like Mary Poppins in terms of, you know, she's British, of course.
You know, I don't even know what she looks like.
Oh, she's darling. She's very petite, and she's a runner. And so she...
Of course she is.
Yes.
Her and Willie.
Yeah, her and Willie. See, I love this.
All
my favorite things. What are you loving right now?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Sally Lloyd-Jones, Willie Nelson.
Uh-huh.
Some things will never change.
Yes.
So she really reminds... And I love Mary Poppins. I mean, that's one of my childhood favorites, you know, and my kids love it too. She reminded me of a Mary Poppins because she's charming and delightful in terms of being a Brit because, uh-huh. you know, us Americans are just always fascinated to hear them talk and they're so eloquent in their articulation and she's all those things. But she's also very, you know how Mary Poppins is a little bit prim and a little bit proper to the point of, you know, those kids minded her out of respect. Like, you respect what this woman is saying. Yeah. And I'm hung on her every word because there's just so much wisdom.
Yes.
Yes. Well, she loves to come to Nashville. So you guys should just meet up there.
And she was so... The thing about her, too, that I really made me even love her more is we've never met.
Yeah.
Never. Mm-hmm. She came on my show. Our conversation was the first time. Mm-hmm. I mean, at the end of the show, she was so... over the top kind to me.
She's very kind.
I mean, she could just have been telling me, like, you know, false stuff. But it was one of the biggest encouragements that I've ever had on the show.
Oh, that's great. Wonderful.
I mean, I'm a fan of her.
She's
phenomenal.
She really is.
Yeah.
Very special.
Okay, so I'm so glad you got to come in today.
Me too. This has been a treat for me. Thank you.
We'll see each other tomorrow.
Yes.
When we're both teaching at the thing. I'm teaching on love.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good. You got that talk ready?
I've got it ready.
Good girl.
1 John 4, I am ready. So I'll be doing that, and it's so good to be with you and hear about what you're doing.
Thanks, Jamie.
I just really hope, as parents are listening, I really do think that this gospel-centered parenting is a new concept for a lot of people. And so my prayer is just, as people listen, they just think, wow, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because really, when you think about it, Jesus being the center of it all, it does make sense.
It does.
Yes. And that is, he was always the center of the plan.
Yep.
You know, and that's, I think, right. When you can do what you guys are doing with the Gospel Project, of constantly pointing us back to, even in Genesis, we see that God had a plan to redeem his people.
Right.
Which is so comforting.
Yes. And don't let kids miss that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's so good.
Yeah.
Jana, thank you.
Thanks, Jamie.
Guys, thank you so much for listening today. Thank you, Jana, for joining me and giving us a great hour of fun and intention about parenting and raising up the next generation. It was so fun to talk about the worship album. We even giggled a lot when we found out the webpage. It's onlyjess.us. We thought that was funny. Remember, everything we chat about can be found on my website, jamieivy.com. So if you're listening to the show and you're like, oh my gosh, I want to know where to get that, or I want to know what they said, or I want to know how to find that sponsor, Jelly Telly or West Rock Coffee, jamieivy.com has everything. And so we try to make that easy for you because we know while you're listening, you're doing some of these things. You're running or walking if you're me. You're doing laundry. You're folding clothes. You're washing dishes. You're driving. You're doing all kinds of things. And we get that. And so thanks for listening. And we want to put everything up there so you can find it. Guys, thank you so much for listening every single week. And especially last week, if you missed it last week, head back and listen to it because it was my conversation with Beth Moore. She for sure was one of my bucket list guests. And so it was such a joy to chat with her. She said some profound things that so many people have told me this week that they are still like marinating in their mind over. And I myself am doing that as well. Guys, don't forget also, we have the Happy Half Hour. It comes out every other Friday. Last week, my guest was Kirsten Dickerson, who started Raven and Lily. We had a great time catching up. The Happy Half Hour is where I bring a guest that's been on already before and just ask them some more pointed questions. 30 minutes every other Friday. You're going to love it. Guys, today's show is edited by Logan Garza, and the music is from Jason Poe. As always, if you're ever interested in partnering with the Happy Hour, feel free to email info@jamieivy.com. Hey guys, every year we do a Christmas gift guide. I have done it on my blog forever, and last year we did it for the first time on the podcast, and it was so much fun. Basically, I want to showcase companies that are doing great things and point them to you for you to buy your gifts from. We did one for Mother's Day. Go back and I sometimes go back and check those out when I need to buy a gift. So always keep those in your phone and ready to go. Well, we're doing it again this year. So if you own a company, if your company creates stuff that's ethically made, if it's a small business run by a woman, or if there's a give back model, these are things we're looking for that we want to showcase. If you're interested in being a part of it, go ahead and send us an email as well, info@jamieivy.com. And we're going to start taking applications for that really soon. So there's that for you. Guys, next week, Amanda Bible Williams. Yes, that's her real name. I did ask her that. Next week, Amanda joins me and we had a great time chatting about how important it is for women to be in God's Word daily. And then we talked about how to do that if that's a struggle. We also talked about resting and what God says is true about you and not your emotions. and what life is like when our husbands are out of town for a week. Guys, I love chatting with her. It was so much fun. She's a part of the She Reads Truth group, and their book just released yesterday. And so go ahead and get that if you want. She Reads Truth. You can find it on Amazon, wherever they're sold. I've read parts of it, and I highly recommend it. But next week, I get to chat with Amanda, and we just had so much fun. When we recorded, I was having a little bit of an emotional day, and so I was a little bit weepy, but it's life. So there you go. Guys, thanks for listening. Thanks for joining me on the Happy Hour. Enjoy your week. Guys, share the show with a girlfriend and have a happy hour with a friend. I will see you next week.